The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Dave. It's good to be here. Everybody say good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. I'm going to turn it up a notch. You okay with that? I am glad to be here. Thrilled to be here. How many were here when I was here many years ago? Some of you guys are, yeah, hallelujah. It's been a long time. I don't even know how, if it's 10, 12, I don't know what it was, many moons ago. I'm just thrilled that there are a pastoral team, a leadership team that wants to know about evangelism. Amen? You're not the norm. You're abnormal, Dave. I don't know if you know that, but... Hallelujah. Would it be that all pastors would, would it be that all pastors would call me up and say, hey, come and equip us in prophetic evangelism? Now, for those of you that get real nervous about that word evangelism, you don't, just get rid of it. We're not going to talk about it anymore. We're going to do prophetic loving your neighbor. Okay? How many want to love their neighbor? Amen. Amen. Just so happens the best thing you can do to love your neighbor is tell them some good news. Amen. There's plenty of bad news in the world. Amen. We got a lot of good news. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've already had fun. I mean, I could, I walked into the prayer session. Dave said they had prayer. So I walked in the prayer session and I got the gigglies on me in the first three minutes. You know, they started laying hands on me. I just started laughing. I mean, I was having a blast. You know, I mean, back when I wasn't a Christian, I didn't have that much fun. I didn't go to a bar and start laughing. You know what I mean? How many have ever been to a bar and you didn't laugh? You cried when you got home because you were, or the next morning, you know. Hallelujah. Thank God some of you don't know what that's like. But, you know, there was, you know, I had some BC days, you know. But I was having a great time. Laid hands on me and prayed for me. And I saw with my spiritual eyes, everybody say spiritual eyes. How many know you got two sets of eyes? You have two mouths and two sets of ears. Amen. We're going to talk about that today. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm going to teach you how to hear God's voice. God's going to blow your little gourds right out of this building today. It's going to be so fun. But before we get to that, I got this little prophetic hat I got to put on. I got to speak to some stuff. Is that all right? Yeah. That'd be good? Yeah. So they prayed for me, and I saw two swords in my hands. And you know those Hollywood movies where they can flip the swords like this? You know, it's not real. Well, maybe some guys could do that. But, you know, the swords like... You know, flip them around. And I had these two swords, and they were kind of gold, kind of a brassy gold, you know. Gold is weightiness. Gold represents glory biblically. Amen? Yeah. Not that God's orchestrating anything in this service at all. Yeah. This is all random.
Yeah.
So I got these two swords, and I saw myself walking down the aisles, and people had chains on their ankles, and I was whacking them off. Now, it would be wise of you to ask, what chains are those, Anthony?
What chains are those, Anthony?
Those are chains of fear and unworthiness and a religious spirit that would like to say, well, this isn't for you. You know, Pastor Dave and all the leadership team, they can hear God and they can share their faith and they can move in miracles, but it's not for you. You hear this voice in your head going, it's not for me. It's not me. No, I'm on the outside looking in. I'm just a little old. See, that's chains. Those are bondages that God wants to break. Amen. Wants to free you. And people always ask me as I travel around the country, so Anthony, what's God saying? You know, we're known as a prophetic ministry. What's God saying? How many want to know what God's saying to the body of Christ?
Amen.
There's two words. It's real easy. Sonship. Yeah. We say sonship.
Sonship.
The other one's really fun. Authority. But that's even more fun. You can't have one without the other. No sonship, no authority. How many would agree with me that the body of Christ in the last, well, since the Jesus movement in the 60s, how many would agree with me that the body of Christ has been becoming more irrelevant and walking in less authority? How many would agree that we've been influencing the culture less? How many remember the Jesus movement in the 70s and 60s? I got saved out of that. Guy walked up to me and my senior in high school, May 22nd, Thursday afternoon, my senior in high school walked up in a white robe, okay, sandals on his feet, okay, this was in Carroll, Iowa. I was ready to go into my house. I saw this guy, it's about from here to that wall or whatever, long hair, beard, had a bedroll on his back, a little satchel, looked just like Jesus, but it wasn't Jesus. And I walked up to him, and he looked me right in the eye. He had blue eyes. He had black hair. Blue eyes. He looked me right in the eye. Didn't say hi. Didn't say, how are you? Looked me in the eye, and he said, do you know the Lord? Now, I grew up Catholic. Any Catholics here? Former Catholics? Yeah? We make great converts, don't we? Hallelujah. He looked me right in the eye, and he said, do you know the Lord? And I said, well, I'm God, or I don't know. We don't do the Lord thing. I mean, you know, I didn't know what. And in about 2 minutes, he led me down the Romans Road. Sadly, most Christians today don't know what that is. There's four scriptures in Romans. That's all you got to know. You got all you need for scriptures for evangelism. Today, we know all kinds of scriptures how to get blessed, but we want to learn some scriptures how to bless others. Amen? See, my heart, my focus, even though we're considered prophet and prophetic ministry, my focus is to create an outwardly focused church. Amen? You want to be an how many want to be an apostolic church? Apostolic churches are outwardly focused. Study the life of Paul. Paul was a soul winner. He expanded the borders of the kingdom. That's what apostles do. They expand. They go, baby. Apostles go. They just got one word in their spirit. That's go, you know? Amen? Fortunately, he took a prophet along with him. He had Silas along with him, kind of telling him how to go and where to go. But, you know, the two of them make a good team. And so, you know, we can be outwardly focused if we understand sonship. And that leads to authority. And so that when you have authority, guess what? You have no more fear. Do you think a police officer is afraid when he pulls up and has to do a traffic stop? I mean, he might be afraid that some guy's going to be weird, but no, they're in charge. Guess what, Living Waters Church, Minnesota? You're in charge. You're in charge. You and Papa are in charge. You and Daddy are running the place. This is his planet, and you're in charge. See, when Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, was he just trying to impress the disciples? Hey, all authority on heaven and earth be given to me. Matthew 28:19. No. He was letting them know a fact. He said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Guess what? The church is supposed to disciple the nation. As the church goes, so goes the nation. How's our nation doing? Not so good, huh? Okay. Yeah. But we can do better. And guess what? He wants to include every one of you in this room, because you're all sons. Galatians 4:26, we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We are sons of God. Me and Daddy, when I get up in the morning, me and Papa are just like, okay, Dad, I'm in business with my father, and I'm going about my father's business. And I want to love what he loves. You know what he loves? He loves lost people. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. So I just want to love what God loves. That's why I want to love you. I want to love everybody I can. I want to love what God loves. Amen? And you can do that. So when I don't think about evangelism. I'm thinking about, I'm in charge. All authority has been delegated to me, right? I'm in charge. Wherever I go, I'm in charge. I'm God's delegated authority. I'm his ambassador. So if I go to Walmart and I'm in line, I'm like, okay, Dad, what do you want to do here? And I'm going to teach you today how to inquire of the Lord and hear his voice and know for sure that you heard God. How many would like that? How many would like to ask the Lord a question, hear a response, and absolutely know you heard God and not your thoughts? Yeah. We're going to fix that today. So you can have divine confidence that when you go out and you see somebody in line, you say, Lord, I'm going to teach you on Sunday nights here coming up how to be led by the Holy Spirit. You feel a pull or a draw to somebody. But then you can inquire of the Lord. Say, Lord, do you want me to witness that person? Yes? No? Why do you want me? So let's say I hear yes. Why do you want me to witness that person? What do you want me to say? Well, just tell them I love them. Oh, their right foot is broken. I want you to pray for it. Oh, their mom just died. I was at Kmart a while back, and I was walking out the door with a friend. We're going to do some videography of evangelism training. And I had just checked out with this gal, and I walked out the door, and I felt a pull. Everybody say pull. I wasn't done. Amen? And so I didn't have a word of knowledge yet, I didn't have anything. I just turned around in response to that, because I walk around with my radar up all day. Just oh, hi, how are you? Good to see you. God bless you today. Yeah, I just walk around with my radar up all day because I'm in charge. No one's going to intimidate me. Me and my father are in charge. I'm delegated authority. I walk around. And so I went back because I turned around. Okay, as I turned around, I heard the word depression. Okay, so I went back to the gal, got in line, bought a Coke or something like that. And I turned to her and I said, I know this might sound kind of strange. You know, I kind of open up that way. I don't just walk up and go, hey, you have depression. Glory to God. You know, don't freak them out, you know. I just said, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. I just felt like the Lord impressed upon me that you might be struggling with depression. Is that true? She goes, oh my gosh, yes, I have. My mother died 2 weeks ago and I've been depressed so bad ever since. Prayed for her, got her set free. She was just bawling, right in line there at the checkout. You know, it was great. People back behind us got a little interesting show, but you know, it was fine. She loved it. She was totally thrilled. Amen. Another time I'm out and I'm training some people in evangelism. I got this guy out and I said, now we're going to see people. And as we see people, we feel, because you know, if you're at the Mall of America, we were out at Lake Harriet and we do this in the summer. You know, you got all these people around. Well, how do you know who to share with? How do you know who's open, right? I mean, you got a crowd of 100 and some people. So I just said, if we feel a draw to somebody. And I said, now you pray and I'll pray. We'll ask the Lord. So we saw this guy over here and he had a red shirt on, young guy. And so I said, I think that guy's, you know, he said, yeah, I think so too. I said, but let's ask God. Let's inquire of the Lord. Everybody say inquire. Inquire of the Lord and ask for what God wants to do, right? See, a lot of people teach evangelism out of their gifting. Now, I move in the word of knowledge all the time. It's something God's gifted me, but I can't expect you to do that. You see, there's evangelism methods that teach, well, you just get a word of knowledge. Well, not everybody can move in a word of knowledge, but everybody can hear God's voice. John 10:27, my sheep hear God's voice, right? And within the conversation, I'm going to teach you on, Sunday night, one of these Sundays, I'm going to teach you how to move in the word of knowledge. It's going to be awesome. It's like it's like nothing you've ever heard. It's really fun. So we're going to this guy. We start talking to him. We're witnessing to him. And it's really not going anywhere. How many have had those experiences? It's just like an intellectual argument, you know? It's like, okay, God. So I step back. Everybody say step back. And what did I do? I listened. And I inquired of the Lord, okay? Because he just wasn't going anywhere. But we knew, my partner and I, we knew that God had said, this guy right here. See, because we'd asked the Lord and the Lord said yes. And then not only when I hear yes, see, the key to what I'm going to teach you today in the next few Sundays is what I call the second question. Everybody say second question. Because God's a God of motive. We can always tell who's talking. See, once you know it's not you. See, once you get rid of the idea that it's not your thoughts, you have two options. It's either God or the devil. So the devil can talk to you, right? The devil talked to Jesus. Right? Matthew 4, when I'm tempted him. Yeah. How many know the devil's talked to you once in a while in your life? Oh, come on. I hear Christians every time I go to church and preach, oh man, Anthony, the devil's been saying this to me. I'm like, well, what's God saying for goodness sakes? You know, but they're always talking about the devil. So we know we hear the devil. So we said, Lord, do you want us to witness this guy? He said, yeah. And I said, why do you want us to witness this guy? He said, well, because he's going to get saved. Oh, okay, well, that's good. That gives me a lot of confidence. Amen. Wouldn't that give you confidence that God said this guy's going to get saved? Yeah. That gave me a lot of confidence. So I'm thinking, we're not getting anywhere. I'm thinking, okay, something. So I just listen, and I hear the word Father. So I got back in the conversation. My other friend was talking to him. I said, hey, your father, and I knew, because I've moved in the word of knowledge before, what it was with the Father. I said, let me ask you. I said, tell me about your father. He's rejected you a lot, hasn't he? He said, yeah. He's about a 17-year-old kid named Zachary, actually, same as my son. And I said, your father's been bitter towards you, and you've got bitterness in your heart. You've got anger and hatred towards your father because he's rejected you all your life. You've never measured up in your father's eyes. He just broke, started bawling, got saved, got born again. See? So that wasn't hard. I didn't have to have a lot of training for that. All I had to do was know how to inquire of the Lord, listen for his voice. And if you hang in here today and tonight, maybe the next couple, three Sundays, you can learn the funnest, most fruitful way to do evangelism. Doesn't take any special, cool anointing and years of ministry and any title, okay? Everybody can do this. That's what's so fun about it. Everybody can do this, amen? But before I get there, I just want to share a little something that I feel will help get rid of some chains today. Would you like that? Yeah, I got... You know, I use my computer for notes sometimes, hallelujah. But if you can put up just a couple scriptures here. I wasn't planning on preaching this, and I'm gonna talk quickly today because I got a lot of ground to cover. Is that all right? So you probably have to get the CD. Now, just for a quick commercial break, I want to talk to you a little bit about, because see, what's the number one hindrance to sharing your faith? Fear of what? Rejection. Fear of man, fear of rejection, right? I just so happened to have written a book that released in December or September called Rejection Exposed. And we're teaching seminars all around the country about being free from rejection. I would highly recommend for you to grab a copy. We're doing a special here, $25. You get the book and the workbook. This will absolutely, totally destroy rejection in your life. Amen? And I've got a series that goes with this, part of a series out in Las Vegas I preached, or in Ohio or something like that, called Freedom from the Spirit of Rejection. It's an awesome series. And then I also have this set out there. This is a book I'm working on now, How to Hear God's Voice, Complete Hearing from God's CDs, 6 CDs. So that's something I'd really recommend. Amen? Hallelujah. It's out on the table there. It'll help you a lot. If you have your Bible, turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10 really quickly. Glory to God. Lord, you're going to have to really do a lot here. There's a hammer in the spirit right now that wants to break off some chains. So we're going to touch some stuff that is kind of touching some of you guys in here. These scriptures in Hebrews 9 and 10 totally transformed my life this year. Okay? Talking about sonship, but I want you to get something. You know, when you begin to move out in the things of the Lord, when you begin to minister to Christians or non-Christians, there's oftentimes a little voice says, well, who do you think you are? Remember what you did last night? Remember what you did last week? It's called sin consciousness. I've got a whole sermon series on an evil conscience. Hebrews 10 talks about an evil conscience. An evil conscience is not somebody who's, you know, got sin in their life. An evil conscience is a Christian who's more sin conscious than son conscious. I am no longer sin conscious. I'm son conscious. Right? When I get up in the morning, I'm not trying to be a better Christian. I get up in the morning enjoying the fact that I'm a son. And with sonship comes great joy, great authority, and great fun. Now, I want you to see something here. But see, what happens is people, like I do a lot of evangelism, people say, well, nobody's perfect. I go, well, I am. Yeah, we're going to see here 3 times in Hebrew it says that you and I are perfect. Let me say this. Let me make a statement to you. As far as God's concerned, as far as I'm concerned, I've never sinned. Wasn't that arrogant, Anthony? No, it's called grace. See, it's either all grace or no grace. It's not like, well, 99% and then you got to sort of be mindful of the stuff you did yesterday. No. I've never sinned as far as God's concerned. See, the blood either works and it covers and it flows today or it doesn't. In 1 John 2, 1, it says, he's died for the sins, for our sins, not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. People who've not even been born yet, the blood of Jesus is ready to flow over their life and cleanse them from their sin if they just receive it. Sins I haven't even committed yet are already forgiven because I'm in Christ. So when you think about evangelism, you get fearful because you think, well, number one, they might reject me and that'll be painful. Number two, I won't have answers. Fear of rejection, fear of failure are the two reasons, main reasons we don't share our faith, okay? Now, when you can hear God, you don't need to have a lot of answers. You just say what God says. Once you know how to hear God's voice, and you don't, now, I'm not saying don't study your Bible. You got to study your Bible. But, you know, people ask like, well, what about the flood? And, you know, did Adam have a belly button? Or all these other kind of goofy questions people get you sidetrailed off. What, you never heard that one? Oh, yeah, man. People are always, you know, these scientist people, you know, is the Bible 10,000 years? You know, is the world 10,000? What about carbon dating, all this stuff? Say, no. I don't, yeah, whatever. But let me just ask you, tell me about your mom. Boom, born of knowledge. Bam, cuts right through the whole junk. I was out at the mall one time. We were witnessing this guy, and he was intellectual atheist guy, and he was arguing with us. And he goes, "Well, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist, you know. And you can't prove anything." And so, I stepped away again, just listened, heard the word mother, and I said, as I opened my mouth, see, as because I was free from fear of failure, and I didn't care if I missed it. Well, what if you miss it? What's he going to do? Say, "Hey, you just missed the word of knowledge. I'm calling your pastor, man." No, they don't know you just missed the word of knowledge. You know, so what if you miss it? God's going, yeah, buddy, keep going. So I stepped out and I said, tell me about your mother. And soon as the words mother came out of my mouth, okay, I heard the rest of the story. As you know, if you're old enough to know that radio show, but the rest of the story, you know. But anyway, and I said, she died of cancer, didn't she? And he goes, oh my gosh. He didn't say that, but he said something else. He said, how did you know that? I said, well, God told me. He said, what are you hearing, voices? I said, yeah, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And he goes, well, God told me that. He goes, well, I was a Christian and I prayed for her and she died anyway. Oh, so now we know the real issue. You're not an atheist because you can't believe. You're an atheist because you have a broken heart. See, God cut right through all the arguments, all the fluff. And I said, you know, I'm so sorry. Can we pray for you? Totally changed everything. Changed his whole life. Why? Because I trusted what I heard. I knew that that word mother was not from the devil. Wasn't from my thoughts. I didn't doubt that it was from my thoughts. I stepped out in faith. Oh, well, okay. It's, you know, you don't know. You step out, you get this little nuance, this word. You step out in the word of knowledge, and there it is. I'm going to teach you that these coming Sundays. You can do this. I've had brand new Christians do this. The hard part's teaching the old crusty ones. I love you. Hope you still love me. If you're angry, it's because you're an old crusty one. All right, look at this. Just check this out. I got to say this because this is part of the hammers and the swords breaking the chains. I got to say this to you, okay? This is a word for this body, okay? And I don't know how much I'm going to get to. I know I got 11:30 deadline, but we'll see here. We might order pizza for everybody. All right. Dave will pay for it. All right. Look, actually go back to Hebrews 9. Go to Hebrews 9, verse 13. And just, if you don't have a Bible, I don't know, do you have screens? Oh, you got them over there. Just listen. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who've been defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience? Everybody say conscience. What is a conscience? Your conscience is your reminder. So when you're about to step out and share with your boss, you've been praying for your boss, you want to share the gospel with them, that evil, unredeemed conscience says, well, yeah, but you yelled at your wife last night. Who do you think you are sharing the gospel with your boss? Trust me, I know that voice, okay? I know that voice. All right. How much more will the blood of Jesus cleanse your conscience from dead works to the living God? So just keep that word conscience in mind, okay? Hebrews 10:2. I got to go to verse 1 almost. For the law, since it was only a shadow of good things to come and not the very form of things, can never by the same sacrifices which they offered continually year after year make perfect. Everybody say make perfect.
Make perfect.
Notice this language. Make perfect those who draw near. Well, why would he bring this up? Making somebody perfect. Well, we'll see in a minute. Otherwise, would they not have been ceased to be offered? Because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have a consciousness of sins.
Amen.
All right, keep that in mind. Go down to verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. Everybody say once for all.
Once for all.
Now, here's the kicker. Go over to verse 14 in chapter 10, verse 14. Got a New King James up there. That's right. If you have a New American Standard, that'd be great. But I'm reading on the New American Standard. Now look at this. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. Who are those people?
Us.
Me. I have been perfected for all time. Therefore, so here's the conclusion. Go down to verse 22. Go to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence. See, this is what God wants to get to Living Waters Church. Divine confidence. Divine boldness. This is sonship, beloved. This is authority. God wants Living Waters Church to be intimidated by no man. I don't care what your title, position is. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you've been saved a week. You're perfect. You're sanctified. You're cleansed. And now I want you to read the rest of this. Therefore, that's nice, Anthony. What's the result of that? Right? Therefore, brethren, since verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, guess what? I have confidence now to enter unholy places. If I have confidence to enter the holy place, you can bet I got confidence to enter an unholy place. Well, you better not go in that bar. Well, you better not. That guy, well, he's got demons. They might get on you. Are you kidding me? There's a lot of people. We do a lot of deliverance ministry. That's a big part of what we do. And they're like, well, don't you, we get demons around us. We just tell them to get out of here.
Amen.
For crying out. Yeah, never mind. All right. I have confidence to enter the holy place. See, holy places, if you can get into the holy place, baby, you can get into any place. The holy place is a place you're scared of. I'm not scared of an unholy place. Amen?
Yep.
I'm not scared of an unholy person. I'm scared. Hey, listen, I've had angels show up in my meetings. The terror of God. You talk about the weightiness of God. I was on my face going, oh God, oh God, oh God. I mean, it's a holy terror sometimes. The holiness of God is scary at times when it's really, really holy.
Yeah.
How many have experienced that? Yeah. See, if I have confidence to enter the holy place, how much more the unholy place? Amen? If I can hang around holy people, I can hang around unholy people. Amen? Yeah. So when you have Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner with your unsaved relatives, you like when they go, hey, this is great, man. I am sanctifying the whole joint.
Amen?
Right. Amen? Yeah. I'm in charge, large and in charge. Glory to God. If we have confidence in the holy place by the blood of Jesus, verse 20, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us therefore draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Our bodies washed with pure water. Beloved, I'm here to tell you today, God wants to break the chain of fear and intimidation off this church. You should, no man can reject you because no man can accept you. Acceptance doesn't come from man when you're a Christian. I've been accepted by God. What do I care if some human, unsaved, puny human rejects me? Of course they're going to reject you. It's the message, not the messenger. If you walked up and say, hey, I'd like to give you $100, I think they'd like you. If you walk up and say, hey, I want to talk to you about Jesus, they might go, whoa, hey, Tuesday, dude, you're kind of a freaky guy here. Let me go away, you know. Truth is, 99% of the people I meet are so hungry for God, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I seriously could have quality conversations with people 8 or 10 hours a day about the gospel. They're so open and so hungry. I can't remember the last, and I share the gospel almost every day. I can't remember the last time I had somebody say, hey, no, you're kind of freaky, get out of here. In fact, it was so rare. I remember the last time I gave someone a track and they threw it away. It was like 2-3 years ago at Theodore Worth Parkway. I was out with my kids walking around, and I always have tracks with me, you know, because we'll talk about that later. Oh, you got something to share? You know, just give it to them. Bless them. It takes 3 seconds, you know. But it's so rare. Amen? Hallelujah. Does that help you a little bit?
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. I want you to just stand up in your feet a little bit. And I want you to understand you got shackles on your, some of you don't, some of you do. Some of you got shackles. Got shackles, hallelujah. So Dave, since his anointing's on you, you're going to take one aisle. I'm going to take the other aisle, hallelujah. And I'm just going to go down, and as I go by you, and as Pastor Dave goes by you, I want you to just see this, the shackle of fear. Everybody say fear.
Fear.
Unworthiness to be broken off of you. And that voice, that spirit of rejection that says, well, who are you? Who am I? Well, you're a son.
Yes.
You're a son.
Yep. Come on.
You're an heir. Okay? So we're going to just walk down. And then we walk down. We're just going to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Of course, that was all by coincidence, right?
Yeah.
Right? You see what God's doing here today?
Yeah.
Why did God show me chains when I was in the prayer room? Why did God show me swords? Here, brother, I'll give you one of those swords. I don't need to have two of them. Glory to God. You take that sword. Hallelujah, Sue, if you want to go with him, or Susie. This is Susan, and that's Susie. So, you know, she used to be Susan. So you can come with me, hon bun. All right. So just, you know, lift your hands whenever. We're just going to go by in the name of Jesus. I break off every shackle of fear. I break off every chain of, there we go. Hallelujah, brother. I don't know who you are, but God just setting you free, brother. Glory to God for ministry, Lord. Bless this guy, Lord. Oh, there's a lot more than you think there is, brother. Hallelujah. Let the anointing, woo, the prophetic anointing stir up in him. Break every chain. Break every chain. You're going to break chains on others in Jesus' name. Break every chain. I break every chain of fear. I break every chain of intimidation. I break every chain of illegitimacy. I break every chain of intimidation, unworthiness. I break it off everybody in this church in Jesus' name. I cancel this assignment on this church. I break every chain in Jesus' name for every person in this church and the sound of my voice. Everybody listen to this CD in Jesus' name. I break every chain, every religious spirit, unworthiness to go, illegitimacy to go. I cancel it in Jesus' name. I release sonship. I release sonship. I release sonship. I release sonship. I release authority. I release authority. I release authority. I release authority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Oh, that's good. Hallelujah. It'd be a good time to shout to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. You can sit down. Amen. Hallelujah. We had to take care of a little business there. Just getting warmed up. Hallelujah. People accusing me of being intense. That's okay. I used to fight it. Now I'm just going, okay, God, that's the way I am. Hallelujah. All right. Now we'll get to the sermon. Pastors, I make them really nervous about that stuff, you know. Amen. Glory to God. How many feel like that was a word from the Lord that ministered to you, bless you? Is that helpful? So I make sure I'm on track, because if I'm missing it, I can just sit down. Dave can preach. That's fine. We doing all right? Yeah? Is that good? I'm having fun. I hope you are. Okay, we're going to whip through some verses here. I'm going to set the stage a little bit. God expects us to hear his voice. It's not, listen, beloved, don't hear, you know, I get kind of excited about this. Don't hear this as you ought to, you got to. Hear this as you get to. Okay? You don't have to share your faith. You still go to heaven. You get to. You get to. It's an honor. I don't share my faith because, oh, they need to hear the gospel. No, they can seek God. Bible says none do, but they, you know. I share the gospel because it glorifies God. Yeah. That's the only reason, that's my only motive. It glorifies the Lamb. Yeah. It's the only reason I share the faith. It gives glory to him. Because, you know, if you're going to minister to people based on need, man, the need's endless. Yeah. Your motive in evangelism is to glorify God. Yeah. Tell the grand old story. Amen. Isaiah 32:9 says, rise up, you women who are at ease, and hear my voice. So sisters, that's for you. John 18:37. I don't know how quick the guy's back there with the verses. I'm going to move fairly quickly here. We'll see how you challenge you. For this I've come into the world. Now this is what Jesus said. For this I've come into the world to testify the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. Revelation 3:20. We all know this verse. We all think it's an evangelism scripture. It's not. This scripture was written to the church, for the church. Do you know the number one thing Christians want me to pray for them for? It's, Anthony, would you pray for me? I don't hear God very well. Would you pray for me? All the time. I have trouble hearing God's voice. And that's okay. That's okay. It's okay to struggle, but we can be free today. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and we'll dine with him and he with me. I want you to take off right now. I want you to do this. I want you to take a piece of paper like this. I want you to tear up right now everything that you think you know about hearing God. Because what I'm about to share with you is totally, radically going to change. Listen, for some of you, it's going to stretch you in a deep way. Trust me. Now, for some of you, this is going to be old hat. But for some of you, it's really, really going to stretch you theologically. I'm just warning you ahead of time. Just trust me. I want you to be careful because, see, religious spirit will make hearing God and his voice sort of allegorical. Well, you know, Anthony, God speaks to me. I had a flat tire the other day, and the Lord spoke to me. Okay, can you imagine every time I wanted to speak to my son Zachary, I punched him? Yeah. I'd get a little old, wouldn't it? Yeah. See, most of us think God speaks to us through negative circumstance. Yeah. Or something good happens, you know, oh, that must have been the Lord, that thing worked out. Well, I have a friend of mine who's been through like 8 jobs in the last year. And he keeps putting fleeces out. And if you don't know what a fleece is, just Pastor Dave will tell you. Anthony's like, thanks, Anthony. And he would say, well, if I get this or I get this, that must mean God wants me to have that job. I said, brother, why don't you just ask God? Lord, do you want me to have this job? So I've been teaching him how to hear God here, like I'm going to teach you. So many of us think that God speaks sort of allegorically or mythically. And also religion teaches us that, well, hearing from God, you have to be a prophet. Prophets hear from God better than non-prophets. It's not true. Prophets can prophesy to you better or more often, but they don't hear God for themselves. In other words, when they ask God a question, they don't have any special line to God that you don't. I know, I'm a prophet, okay? And I don't have some special line. I got to hear God for myself the same way you do. How do you remember a little guy named Elisha? Struggled with the same thing. Remember, he's hiding in the cave, freaking out. Was hearing lies. Well, there's none left in Israel but me. I'm the only one left. And God had to speak to him and say, no, you're wrong. You're not hearing right. You're not the only one left. I've got plenty. See? So Hearing from God is not just prophets or pastors or some title. Everybody can hear God's voice when it comes to just asking the Lord a question, listening for a response. Amen? Really, really, really important that you get that. Well, Anthony, I sinned yesterday. God's not going to talk to me. Oh, yeah, he will. God will talk to you in the midst of your sinning. I know. I've had it happen. In fact, he loves to speak to me in the midst of my sinning to help me not sin. Amen? Oh, yeah. And guess what? God speaks to sinners. That's how you got saved. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, we've made this some big, hard, mystical whoop-de-doo. Well, if I get in my prayer closet. Actually, that's the worst place to hear from God. Yeah, you know, how many know when you got to make a prayer decision? You know, like I got invited to China and different places people asked me to go. So I used to go in there and I get in my prayer closet, you know, in our sunroom, you know, our my prayer room, and I get down. And of course, if you really want to hear from God, you squint really hard. Okay, God. Okay, Lord. Okay, now, Lord, do you want me to go to China? You know, and I'm like, come on, God. Okay, ready. I'm right here, you know. That's like waving a red flag at the devil to send demons to confuse me, you know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I did, in the shower, man, in the bathroom, driving a car. See, because I just practice the presence of God. I'm just, me and Jesus are always walking around. And I'll look at somebody and go, what do you think, Lord? Yeah, I think for that person or it's like Susan and I walk around and I'll turn to her and I'll just say, hey, you know, just casual. Right? Isn't Jesus in you? Well, it's not something like, you know, I got to work something up. He's in there. He's in there. Some of us got a little more Jesus than the rest of you, but, you know, I'm working on it. Mr. Ken lost a little bit of Jesus on his mid, you know, the Holy Ghost. Did the anointing leave, brother? No, the anointing's still there? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. No, I just like, he looks so good. Man, I'm so jealous. I need to drop about 40 pounds. That's just awesome. I'm just envious of people that can lose that much weight. It's awesome. So, religion just makes God distant, difficult, select few, mystical, just weird. You know, but that's not reality. Jesus said, John 10:27, it's our key verse. My sheep hear my voice. How many hear a sheep this morning? Right? Okay. Man, I can tell you this is gonna take a while. All right. All right, we gotta move quick. John 4:24, God is spirit, right? Now turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. You might have to all come out tonight to hear this because I don't know how much I'm gonna get through here. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely or wholly. That's wholly. May your spirit, everybody say spirit, soul, which is your intellect, and body be preserved. Now, they're all intertwined right now, okay? Now, let me just make a statement to you. You and I are spirit beings. We all know that, right? Everybody, we're all good with that? God is spirit. I'm going to say something to you. This would be like nugget number one. You and I are the only creature that exists 100% in the natural world and in the spirit world at the same time. So the same world that God and angels and demons are in, you are in. You're in their world. They can see you. They walk around. How many know there's angels in the room here? Probably a few demons. Oh, yes, that's okay. Demons hang around Christians. Yeah, they go to church with you. That's all right. But they can see, now they don't see Ken's black shirt here, but they can see Ken. They can see his spirit, right? Do you understand that? So you're in the same world as God and angels and demons. And you happen to also happen to have an extra thing called this body. So you have these ears, right? But how many know God doesn't speak audibly much? I mean, once in a while he can, but I don't hear God audibly. I don't know if I'd want to. Everybody in the Bible that heard God audibly, it freaked them out, right? You know? So if God's going to speak to me, how's he going to speak? Speak to my spirit. Now, some of this sounds very fundamentally rudimentary right now. Just hang on. I'm building a case. So I'm a spirit. Angels are a spirit. Demons are a spirit. God's a spirit. So God's going to speak to me. He's going to speak to my spirit. Amen? He's not going to speak to my audible ears. Therefore, that must mean that I have spiritual ears. Ephesians 1:18 says this. He said, Paul prayed that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or open. How many know that's not your blood pump? Right? At the eyes of your spirits, you have spiritual eyes. Close your eyes right now. And I want you to see your car. I want you to see yourself riding a horse, riding a bike, having ice cream. Chocolate pie. No, I'm just kidding. Okay? See, you can see things with your spiritual eyes. That's called spirit, seeing in the spirit realm. Okay? You have spiritual eyes, you have spiritual ears, and you have a spiritual mouth. Now, I'm going to have to move a little quicker than I normally would. So let's find out about our spiritual mouth. Let's find out about our spirit man. Paul called him the inner man. 1 Peter 4 talked about the inner man, and for ladies, the inner person of the heart, the hidden person of the heart, right? The real eternal you. So I want you to do a little experiment here. I want you, when I say go, I want you to count to 10. Now, you would use this phrase in your head. Okay, that's a psychology phrase. It's not a Bible phrase, but I want you to count to 10 quietly to yourself when I say go. You ready? Go. Okay, stop. Now, let me ask you a very important question. How many believe you were thinking? Raise your hand. Okay. How many believe you were speaking? Raise your hand. Okay. You were speaking. That is you. That's your spirit voice. I'm going to prove this to you. I know this is where it gets a little bit like, okay. See, this is how we're going to save you the confusion between your voice and your thoughts and all that stuff. So I want you to do it again. I want you to count to 10, but this time I want you to sing to 10. Now I'm going to change the phrase, not in your head, with your spirit voice. I want you to sing to 10. Ready, go. Okay, stop. That's your spirit voice. Now I want you to yell to 10 with your spirit voice. Ready, go. Okay, stop. Now, those of you that have children have done that many times, but, okay. See, that voice has inflection. It has emotion. It has singing. It has, see, you can't think sing. You can't think emotion like that. Okay, and I'll tell you what thoughts are in a minute. We'll get to that. But that's your spirit voice. Okay? Now, we're going to do one other thing here. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14. Hallelujah. See, everybody look up here. That space or that spirit place where you just prayed and spoke with your spirit voice, that's where God speaks to you. That's where God speaks to you. And I remember one time I was witness to a guy and Lord gave me a word for him, a word of knowledge and stuff, and it was awesome. And he said, well, you mean so God just told you that stuff? He said, yeah. And everybody always asks this question. Well, you mean you hear God? And I go, yeah. I go, well, what does he sound like? Right? Everybody wants to know, you know, if you're non-Christian, what does God sound like? Who knows that God sounds just like you? Right? He's a familiar voice, you know? I mean, a lot of people, if you watch old religious, you know, Ten Commandments movie, you think, God, that's a British accent, you know? The Lord thy God spoke to thee. I mean, it'd be nice if whenever God spoke to me, you know, it'd be like some British majestic accent. Anthony, thou shalt go to, you know, Living Waters Church and preach the gospel there. You know, they'd be, oh, that's God. Yeah, it's that British guy, you know? I mean, that'd be easy, wouldn't it? You know, and if the devil had a little French accent, oh, yeah, bonjour, little Zachary is not so good, huh? You better watch out. Hey, you know that pastor, he doesn't like you, huh? I mean, wouldn't that be great, you know? But it's just not that easy. The Lord, God sounds like you, and guess what? So does the devil. Right? Come on. Because they speak to you in that spirit place, in the spirit realm, okay? So everybody, when they pray, they say, well, Lord, do you want me to take that job? And then they hear something, and they say this all the time. Everybody struggles with this. Well, that was just me. That was just me. You know, you want to go pray for somebody, you see somebody at Walmart, you know, and you're out, you just had a sermon on evangelism. You guys, maybe today you're going to have lunch, and you're going to see the waitress. You go, okay, Lord, you know, I'm going to witness to her, you know, Lord, do you have a word for her? And then you hear something, you know, and you're like, well, yeah, but maybe that was just me though. Right? That's the struggle. Right. Come on. It was just me. Okay? So here's the thing. We got to learn to recognize our voice, our spirit voice, and his voice. They sound a lot the same, but they're different. Okay? And let me give you an example. If I talk to Susan and I say, Susan, do you love me?
Yes.
Okay. Now, When I asked her that question, I inquired of Susan, right? What did I have to do in order to hear that? Let's do it again and see what some of us do. Susan, do you love me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, do you love me?
Yeah.
No, I mean, but do you love me?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that was just me. What?
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
When you ask God a question, you got to do what?
Stop talking.
Be quiet. You have to stop and listen. And when you do that, you've shut your voice down. And now you have two options. Instead of being, it could be me, God, or the devil. Those are your three options, right? You can hear yourself talking to yourself. See, throughout your day, most of what you believed was thinking is actually you speaking.
That's right.
And we do say that. Oh, I was driving around the other day and I said to myself, I said, self, you're a wonderful self. You know what I'm, well, you are. You're talking to yourself, sort of. I mean, yourself being the rest of you. I know this is getting a little bit, I know your brain's starting to go, ouch. But so you talked all day long, you are talking to yourself. Now here's the scary part. God and angels and demons can hear everything you're saying. That's why Jesus said, be careful what you say, for you will be judged by every idle word. Who's going to judge you? Not demons, not angels. Right? He can hear everything. And every spirit being can hear everything. So when I walk by someone and I go, well, that no good, dirty, rotten, in my quiet, well, the demons hear that and they go, oh, I'm going to minister that to that person. They'll teach you to keep your spirit voice really intact. It's not what you say outwardly, it's what you say in your
heart.
But what is your heart? It's not a blood pump, it's your spirit. When you counted to 10, you said something with your heart, your spirit. I just counted to 10 in my heart. Oh, so glorious. In my heart, I counted to 10. Yeah, we worship in our heart, don't we? In fact, I'm going to do one other thing to prove to you that that's your spirit voice. Okay. Now, for some of you, if you don't pray in tongues, you don't pray in the spirit, don't feel bad. We're going to do a little experiment with praying in tongues here for a minute, okay? And it doesn't mean that someone's a better Christian, but maybe just you haven't explored that part of your faith yet, but we all can speak in tongues. But I'm going to invite us to pray in tongues, and I'm going to do something, a little experiment to further help you understand your spirit voice, okay? So you understand that when you just counted to 10 or whatever you did was not you thinking, because a lot of you are going to leave here. I know I've been teaching this for years. You're going to leave here going, no, I really think that's my thoughts. That's me thinking with that little spirit voice. So I want to do something. I'm going to ask you to pray in tongues out loud. And then I'm going to say switch. And I want you to pray in tongues quietly to yourself, or what I call your spirit voice. Okay. And then I'm going to say switch again. And I want you to pray in tongues with your these lips. Okay. So we're going to pray in tongues out loud. We're going to pray in tongues quietly to yourself with your mouth closed. And then we're going to pray in tongues out loud again. Okay. And I want you to pay attention to the words flow. Ready? Okay, ready, go. Kalabashika roto, rida basiriondo, restarda shirda horde, shirda kuda switch. Switch. Kurabashiko labashinga rete shira kada. Switch. Okay, stop. Now it's hard to hold it in, isn't it? And some of you are laughing, okay? Because it's so powerful, it's hard to keep it in. But I want you to notice something. When you prayed, a lot of you never prayed in tongues quietly to yourself before, have you? I mean, some of you can tell it's a first. But you'll notice it's the same flow of words. Guess what? You can't think in tongues. You can't. It's not a known language. You can't teach it to you. Now, 1 Corinthians 14 says this. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. In other words, the mind's not the source of it. When you pray in tongues, your mind's not the source of it. It's not the fruit of it. When I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. So the same voice that I use to count to 10 is the same voice I just prayed in tongues, in, as you would say, in your head. Which is, I recommend you don't use that phrase anymore. But what you just did is you prayed in tongues in your head. It's not in your head, it's your spirit voice. You didn't count to 10 in your head, you counted to 10 with your spirit voice, right? Are we in agreement on that? So far, sort of, not so much. Yeah. Okay. My point in all of this is that that's where you hear God. That's where you hear God. See, the confusion lies is when I inquire of the Lord, or maybe I'm praying for somebody and something comes to me, I don't know the source of it. Okay. And some of you think it's just random. Let me just make a statement to you. There's no such thing as random information. Everything has a source. It's either you, God, or the devil. So when I'm listening, I cut out one of the sources and I go, well, I'm going to be quiet now. I've asked God a question. Lord, you want me to pray for, you know, Pastor Dave or whatever. And then I'm going to listen. And what I hear is either going to be God or the devil. Now, you got to learn how to discern the devil's voice. That helps. Then the main thing to discern that is to know the scriptures, right? But there's other ways to do that, okay? One of the best ways to discern the enemy's voice is ask the second question. Everybody say second question. Let me tell you how I discovered this whole thing that I've been teaching really around the country, and I'm writing a book on it right now. I was in my prayer class, or I'd been asked to go to India by one of my board members, and so I did what we all do, you know. And most of us, when we pray, we have a question, like a specific question. We go and we ask God. We say, Lord, you know, so I got in my prayer closet. I squinted like I did before. I said, no, squinting, you know. Lord, you want me to go to India? And I heard no. In my, you know, I mean, you all hear God. You know, God speaks to your heart. But sometimes the problem is with most of us, we hear God once in a while. We don't hear him all the time, every time. We don't think. Okay? So I heard no. And what most of us do is we stop. We go, yep, God said no. Honey, God said no. I'm not supposed to go to India. You know, we hear an answer. We feel, okay, that's the Lord. Or maybe we doubt a little bit. Well, I'm not sure that was God. We pray again. We hear no a couple, three times. Yep, he kept saying no, so this must be no. Well, on this particular day, about 5 or 6 years ago, I decided to be really risky and ask why. And it changed everything. Changed my life. You see, the why is the motive. God's all about motive. The why or the second question will almost always tell you the source of what you're hearing. So I said, Lord, do you want me to go to India? And I heard no. And then I said, why don't you want me to go to India? And I heard, because I hate you. Now, how many know, let's see how discerning this church is, Pastor Dave. How many know that wasn't God? Whew, these guys are sharp. Man. Where's that voice from? Well, it's from the devil. Yeah, the devil can come right in your prayer closet and say stupid stuff. Oh, yeah. Sorry, sweetie. I'm not supposed to say the S word in front of my kids. Say really silly stuff. I still have kiddie words in my vocab, like potty and all that stuff, you know. Yeah, I have a five and eight. Zoe, Zachy, wave hand. Wave your hands high. This is Zoe and Zachary up here. You come see him. Yay. Hallelujah. He's laying down. Okay. So I said, okay, so I'm like, you know, I heard this voice because I hate you. Okay. So obviously bearing the sharp man of God that I am, I knew that wasn't God, you know. So I said, the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit of rejection, to leave. And it did. And I prayed again. See, I know that the devil can talk to humans. In fact, he loves to talk to Christians. See, most of us don't ask the second question. We hear what we think we're supposed to hear, and we just stop. We move on. I'm telling you, you want to know why. I want to know why. Am I supposed to preach at Living Waters Church? Yes. Why do you want me? Because I'm supposed to release something. What am I supposed to release? And I just keep asking questions. And I have I get a whole battle plan. I don't just go, yep, I'm supposed to do that. Well, I want to know what God's up to. I want to ask why. And you know what? As I grow in my hearing, I can hear all kinds of things. Now, it didn't start out that way. What's that? Yeah, Hebrews 5:14. We'll get to that in a minute. Hebrews 5:14 says that it said, beloved, solid food is for the mature who through practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Everybody say practice.
Practice.
We're going to practice in just a minute here. I know it's 11:30. I'm going as fast as I can. So the key for us is to ask that. So I asked that second question. So then I rebuked that demon. And I said, Lord, do you want me to go to India? And I heard no again. Now, most of you thought I was going to hear yes, didn't you? Yeah. Because you thought it was a demon the first time. See, if you want to know what your spiritual battle is, begin to do this. You'll expose your own demons right away. I knew that spirit of rejection was on me. Figure out what kind of demon would say, I hate you. Right? Spirit of rejection, maybe a spirit of self-hatred. So I got rid of that thing, praise the Lord. And so I heard no, and I said again, Lord, why don't you want me to go to India? He said, because you're not ready. Oh, well, now that's a different response. And then I said this. I said, well, here's what I call, I backed this voice in the corner. I said, well, let's just see where this goes. I said, why am I not ready? He said, because of fear. I said, well, what kind of fear? And we just had this nice conversation. And, you know, he was right. He exposed a weak spot in my life. But it was a good voice. It was a kind voice. It wasn't condemning. Wasn't saying silly stuff, wasn't attacking me. It was God speaking to me. Okay? And it helped me discern my spiritual battles. The Lord spoke to some issues in my life he wanted to deal with. You drop your glasses there, brother. You don't want to step on those. Okay? Amen? So, but sometimes we got to be willing to hear stuff. Let me give you a statement that changed my life forever. about 3 or 4 years ago, I was teaching on this, and the Lord said something to me right in the middle of the sermon. He said this. He said, when you're willing to hear anything, you'll begin to hear everything. Let me say that again. When you're willing to hear anything, you'll begin to hear everything. Many of us have filters. We have agendas. I'll give you an example. Susan and I were dating a number of years ago, and I was praying, and I was saying, Lord, you know, is she the one? You ever have a case of the ones, guys? No single people here? You know, I'm like, is she the one? You know, just tell me, Lord. And I was hearing yes and no and yes and no. How many heard that double-minded thing? Yes, no, yes, no. And I said, Lord, come on. I can hear your voice. Just talk to me. Is she the one? And John 16:23 came to me. He said, I have much to say to you, but you cannot bear it at this time. I was not in a place that I could hear that she was my wife yet. Jesus said it to his own disciples who've been with him 3.5 years. I have much to say to you, but you cannot bear it at this time. Okay. Sometimes you pray and you hear nothing, right? I have people tell me that, Anthony, I'm praying, I don't hear anything. I have much to say to you, but you don't. But see, what hinders us is fear. You have an agenda. You don't. Are you really willing to hear anything? Because if you're willing to hear, if you tear up your list, single people, ladies, if you tear up your list of what you want, you know, or who you want, or whatever, or what kind of job you want, or where you're supposed to do in ministry, or who you can minister to, or who's acceptable, or what, you know what I'm saying? You'll begin to hear everything God wants, but fear and agendas will limit what God can say to you. Amen? Does that make sense? Okay. Now I have so much, like Jesus, I have much to say to you, but we cannot bear it at this time because it's getting on with time here. Let me just, let's just put your Bibles down. Let's do a little practice here. Amen? Is this making sense? I know I'm going really quickly. Yes, Susan? Okay, so she said, so people want to know, well, Anthony, if I get rid of my voice and I have God and the devil, how do I discern if it's the devil or not, you know, if it's God? James 3:17. We'll look at that real quickly. Let's do that. James 3:17. If you can put that up on the screen, that'd be great, guys. James 3:17. And I would encourage you just to, because this, really, this teaching, I do whole weekend seminars on just this topic, okay? I'll do more tonight, but for some of you that can't make it on Sunday nights, we'll pray for you that God will help you come, if you can come tonight. But I want to get as much as I can of the main nuggets here. James 3:17 says this, but the wisdom from above, or the word from above, because Jesus is the wisdom and he's the word, is first of all pure, peaceable, gentle. Now, this is a New King James. Willing to yield. In other words, when you hear something from God, it's not pushy and driving and you know, you better, you ought. It's not condemning. See, it's willing to yield. Another translation says it's entreatable. That means you can ask God. See, you can ask God questions 2 or 3 times. I mean, I do that all the time. If I'm not hearing clearly, I'll ask him again. He doesn't get bothered. Full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. That's a good test right there to test what you're hearing. Is it pure? I mean, what would happen if I acted on what I heard? Is it peaceable? Okay. Now, people say, well, you know, I just didn't feel peace about it. Well, make sure you're not feeling peace because you have fear. Fear will try to steal your peace. So you might say, well, I didn't feel peace about that. Well, yeah, was it asking you to be outwardly focused and minister to somebody? You might not be, you know, lack of peace. It might be just fear. Okay. Peaceable meaning that it's going to have a peaceful result of fruit. In other words, if you witness to somebody, somebody's going to get some blessing out of that thing. Amen? All right. Now, let's do this. Yeah, I don't have time to get into Samuel. We'll do that tonight. Let's just do this. Let's do a little practice, you guys. Okay? You ready? Let's do some exercises. And we'll take some testimonies. Do we have a microphone? Well, we're a small crowd. You can just say it real loud. We're going to ask God some questions. We're going to inquire of the Lord and listen for a response. Does that sound good? We'll get to practice this a little bit, and I'll get to help you. Okay? Now, the first question I want you guys to... I want you guys to do... We're going to start... Now, here's a principle in learning to hear God's voice. Here's a principle. Go from the simple to the complex, from the known to the unknown. Okay? In other words, when I'm wanting to hear a big thing, like, you know, like let's say you want to know about a job or moving or who to marry or what church to go to, you know, big questions, I would warm up your hearer with some smaller questions. Like when you go work out and lift weights, I don't start with, you know, benching 300 pounds because I can't. I start with 5. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you warm up, right? You warm up. You warm up your hearer, okay? So if I'm at Walmart and I'm saying, okay, like, you know, that's my little witnessing place in the winter in the Mall of America. I'm walking around. I just start asking God questions like, Lord, you know, do you love me today? You know, am I your son? Am I going to heaven? You know, Lord, what do you think of me today? So I want to make sure I'm hearing him and I'm in tune with him. Just like if I'm walking around with Susan, say, hi, sweetie, how are you? Tell me what's going on. What are you thinking today? You know, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me today that goes a little bit deeper? Because see, some of the things I know the answers to, so it's a little easier to hear. But it's when you don't know the answer, it's a little bit harder to hear. The Bible says in Romans 12:6, we prophesy according to our measure of faith. Guess what? You hear according to the measure of your faith. Right? Hearing is prophesy. If you're going to prophesy, you have to hear first, don't you? So let's ask God this question. This is simple, but it's, you know, just listen. I want you to listen for a voice. Now, I'm not talking about an impression. I'm not talking about a sense. I want you to listen for a voice. For most of you, you're going to think the first few times that what you hear was just you. It sounded like you. And it will sound like your voice, but it's not your voice. But it'll be familiar, okay? I want you to say, Lord, now do this with your spirit voice, not out loud. I want you to say, Lord, do you love me? When I say go, and then listen for a response. You ready? Go. Lord, do you love me? Maybe you need to close your eyes. Okay, stop. Everybody look up here. I stopped you quickly because he speaks quickly. I've learned that from experience, okay? How many heard something right away? Okay, good. We're going to do it one more time. We're going to say, Lord, do you love me with your spirit voice? And now this time I want you to pay attention to what your spirit voice sounds like and what the response sounds like. Now, I want you to think, all right, let's just do that. Say, Lord, do you love me? Ready, go. Okay, stop. Now, let me ask you a very important question. Here's a big principle. How many heard more the second time than the first time? Yeah, almost all of you. I want you to catch a principle here. The more you practice listening, the more you will hear. Now, tonight, we're going to look at David's life and how he grew in his hearing. It's really a cool stuff out of 1 and 2 Samuel. Now, how many heard when you, and this is common, almost every church I teach this in, how many heard when you said, Lord, do you love me? How many heard no? Raise your hand. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. Happens almost every church I'm in. One. Okay. Anybody else? Lord, do you love me? You heard no. Okay. Now I want you, for the people that it happened to, I want you to do this. I want you to quietly, with your spirit voice, not out loud, I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, spirit of rejection, to leave me in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and do that right now. And everybody else, if you didn't raise your hand, you heard no, or you heard something negative or bad, just say in the name of Jesus, I command rejection to go, okay? Now, for those people that heard no, I want you to pray again or talk to the Lord and say, Lord, stop praying, it's talking. Lord, do you love me? And then listen for a response. Ready? Go ahead. Okay. Now, did you hear something better? Very common, by the way.
And so I knew what it was.
Okay.
And then the next time we did it, I asked, Lord, do you love me? He said, yeah. And then immediately after that, I heard, resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Okay.
So it was like I already knew that.
Okay, just for the recording. So he heard, yes, no. Lord, do you love me? Yes, no. What that tells me is there's a demon of rejection close by, but not overwhelming his spiritual area. Okay. And it wanted to sneak a no in there, but it couldn't quite get ahead of the Holy Spirit. I was out in New Jersey a while back, a church about 900 people, and you wouldn't believe how many people heard no. Every time I've had him rebuke a spirit of rejection, they hear yes. Every time. I've never had it fail. Okay? So, how many want to share when you said, Lord, do you love me? How many share what you heard? Raise your hand. Just shout out loud. Ken, what'd you hear?
I love you immensely.
Well, aren't you special? Okay. Anybody else? Right over here.
I love you very much. You're the apple of my eye.
Okay. How about you?
Yes, I really do love you.
Wow. Okay. Was that like he wanted to really I do like help you because you struggle with that and.
Well, no. I mean, I asked him the first time and he said yes.
Yeah.
And then I did what you told me to do. He goes, yes, I really do love. I mean, I go around saying it all the time.
Oh, great. Amen. How about you?
His favorite.
You are. Well, no, I am.
No.
No, I am. Oh, okay. How about you? What did you hear?
Yes, with an everlasting heart, you're my precious one. You're my beloved.
Well, okay, now. Most churches I get yes or no, but you know, go back. Now, wait, how, some of you guys, come on. Guys, come on, men. What'd you hear over there? What'd you hear?
Yes, I eternally love you.
Okay, some other guys, when you had said, Lord, do you love me? Yeah, David.
Absolutely.
Yeah, brother back here. Yes, you're my favorite. Oh, wait a minute. How many of you have seen that bumper? Zachary, what did you hear, Zach?
Well, I didn't hear quite what he said.
Oh, okay. Well, you keep working on it. Now, how many, hang on, how many heard nothing? It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. People hear nothing. How many got a blank? Nobody got a blank. Wow, you got a good church here, brother. Way to go. No blanks at all? Not one blank? Okay, how many have prayed before, asked God questions, and heard nothing? That's more like it. Okay? Okay. Let me tell you why that most often that happens. Is fear. Okay? Fear of failure. Fear of missing it. And we often, again, may have an agenda there. So when you're hearing nothing, you say, Lord, is there something, is there some agenda? Is there something I have that I want to hear that I'm not willing to hear? Because the Lord makes clear to me, when you're willing to hear anything, you'll hear everything. Now, just for the sake of time, let's do a couple more exercises. But you guys are doing great. Amen? Now, this time I want you to say, with your spirit voice again, Lord, why do you love me? Ready? Go. Maybe you need to close your eyes and say, Lord, why do you love me? Okay, stop. Okay, Lord, why do you love me? Who wants to share? Yes, ma'am.
As soon as I said it, you said, because I know you delight in me, because I know you like to search me out.
Okay, all right. Yes, amen. Anybody else? Okay, anybody else?
I love you since I've made you.
Since I've made you, okay. Anybody else? Lord, why do you love me?
Same thing.
That's all right. Over here, over here.
Because I created you, because you are made in my image.
Okay. Okay. Go here, right here.
Because you're mine.
Because you're mine. Okay. Yes, real quick. I created you. Okay. Now, let me help you out here. This is something I really want to pay your attention to. This will help you discern some of your spiritual warfare. I had a man in Tulsa. We were teaching this a while back, he's in his early 70s, been a Christian for 44 years. And we took some responses, and he said, I said, do the thing, Lord, why do you love me? And he raised his hand. He said, the Lord says, I love you because you pray a lot. And how many know prayer is really important? Amen? But I gently said, you know, I'm just not sure that's the Lord. I said, I want you to renounce a religious spirit. So he did. I said, I want you to pray again. And he prayed. He said, Lord, why do you love me? And the Lord said, because you're my son. And he just began to weep. He said, I've been a Christian 44 years. I never heard God say I was his son. Now, I want you to pay attention to something here. If you hear anything that has to do with what you do, whether you pray, whether you fast, whether you seek God, or what, you know, you want to be careful. It's probably a religious spirit. Now, some senses, and when you come to praying, you know, and asking God questions, there's not a definitive answer. In this area of why, God loves us because we're his son or daughter. That's it. If it's any more or any less, then it's works. So if you're hearing something that says because of this or that, that indicates you might have a religious spirit trying to drive you. And so if you hear that, I want you to just renounce it, fall out of agreement with it, command that thing to go. Amen? Okay, now, let's ask God one more question. Now we're going to go, I'm going to notice a pattern here. We're going to go kind of from a known thing to an unknown thing. This time we're going to say, Lord. Now this isn't in the Bible. This one's not in the Bible. So you're going to have to hear. Lord, what do you like best about me? Ready? Go ahead. Got little ones coming in. Don't let it disturb you. Just listen. Lord, what do you like best about me? Okay, stop. Everybody look up here. Just take some quick responses. Who wants to share? Back there?
He loves my heart and my will.
Okay, tell me what he said. Can you go for, he said this? Did he say, I love your heart and your, Or did you have a sense that he loves your heart and your willingness?
I felt he said it.
Okay. Here's the thing, beloved. I want us to listen for a voice stream. Everybody say voice stream. Not, and I'm not picking on you, brother, but not impressions, not thoughts. We want to hear a voice. It's like when you counted to 10, that's a voice stream. Okay? Words of knowledge or impressions are not a voice stream. They're just, they're right there. They're in your spirit. When we hear God and we're asking him a question, we want him to say, because I. You want to listen for I. Okay? So, and that probably was in there, but I just want to define this. Anybody else? Lord, what do you like best about me, Margaret? Well, aren't we special? Okay. Anybody else? Lord, what do you like best about me? Your heart is for me, toward me. Okay? Anybody else? Okay, how many found it harder to hear in this area than the other ones? You know why? Because it's an unknown. Look, everybody raise your hand. Look how many hands are up. How many found it harder to hear in this area? Because now we're stepping off in a little bit deeper realm of the spirit to trust him, to trust that voice. Now, the next place, I know it's getting late here, and I apologize. We need to go. But tonight, we're going to explore this some more. We're going to begin to really cement this in. So I really want to encourage you. I just had to give you a quick overview, but I want to just whet your appetite for more tonight and then the following weeks. Amen? So I'll be done. Pastor Dave, amen. Take it over. Hallelujah.
All right. That was good, huh? I do want to invite you, encourage us. Yeah, it's good to come. We do have, we'll have prayer teams. If you need prayer for healing, if you need just to be touched by God, I'm sure Anthony and Susan will be here to pray. Anybody wants prayer, if you want just encouragement, sometimes you don't have anything pressing or heavy, you just want to be encouraged in the Lord, come on up. There's coffee out in the lobby. Let's stand together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you that you love us just because you love us, just because you're love and you can't do anything else. And God, that we want to know this God of love. We thank you in Jesus' name. Bless you. We'll see you tonight.